One of the great legacies that Joyce brought to this broadcast is the quality of people and getting opinions on, you know, not just talking heads or whatever, but people who actually know and are in positions to know and can help you on a wide spectrum, not only the actual issue, but then how to deal with it health-wise, what have you. She would love our next guest, Colonel Michael Lewis. He's an infectious disease specialist, or former U.S. military infectious disease specialist. He's going to talk about how you deal with all this, but obviously with the root of the problem, what have you. We're very excited to have him on. Dr. Lewis, welcome to the Power Hour.
Oh, it's great to be with you today.
Yes, it is. Doug Rocky, who was former military also, an expert in bioterrorism, NBC, nuclear, biological, chemical, and how to deal with it, has spoken quite clearly about how to deal with this quote-unquote pandemic. Before we get into anything else, obviously, I got to ask you, what do you make of this? What do you make of coronavirus? What do you make of the measures that have been taken? And why is everyone wearing a mask? Boy, you're cutting out really bad. Hey, Dr. Lewis, you're cutting out really bad. I don't know. All of a sudden, maybe your face away from the microphone. Do you have it on speakerphone or something?
No. Is this any better?
That's perfect. Perfect.
Okay. Well, let's go with it. Sorry about that. Yeah. I think we have a massive overreaction. We keep moving the goalposts. You know, back in February, March, we talked about needing to flatten the curve to, you know, keep our medical system from being overrun. Well, we did that really well. And of course, we tried one size fits all and tried to look at New York and Utah and Phoenix and Wyoming as the same. And they're completely not. Things should have been done much more locally. And we did a great job of flattening the curve and keeping the system from being overrun. And then we changed the goalpost. And then all of a sudden you've got like the mayor of Los Angeles coming out and saying, we're going to be locked down until we have a vaccine. Well, I don't think we're ever going to have a vaccine that's really effective personally. So I think we have unrealistic goals. We have completely changed the narrative. We've politicized it. And the idea of how we've gone about it and is completely absurd. Viruses have been around longer than mankind, long before mankind. They'll be around longer after we're gone. We have to learn to coexist. I mean, if we put everybody into a bubble and don't ever let their immune system get exercised, when they do get exposed, they're going to be in big trouble. And I see that happening at a population level, not just an individual level. The reason why adults don't get sick very often or nearly as much as little kids is because kids are developing that immune system. You put them in a classroom, they get sick, they get exposed to different things, and they develop an immune system that makes them stronger, have a better and stronger health and immune system as they get older. And we're denying that, not to mention the whole social and financial and economic impact that we're going to have.
You mentioned that it's been politicized, and, you know, one state, okay, like my cousin lives in North Carolina, Democratic governor. They're coming down, it seems like, almost like California. Not quite that bad, but they're pretty aggressive. And then other states where the Republican governor, they're much, you know, Missouri is much, much looser, and there's not much, that much of effect. And I'm sitting here, just logically, if you were dropped down from the moon somewhere and just put here to look at this, you're like, wow, this really isn't about the virus, then, is it?
I think that in many ways it's become much bigger than about the virus. Unfortunately, we are in the middle of an election year, and it's being used as a political football. And I am concerned that it's small businesses and our kids that are being punted around the field. And you know, the fact that a lot of school systems have shut down and aren't going to open for the next year, or at least the next till the end of the year, if then, I think is just a horrible mistake. I think socially, the social interaction, the anxiety that we're causing our kids. I mean, I feel horrible for not just for the kids, but for the parents. What do you know? You've got two or three kids in elementary school, and you have two parents that both need to be working. Who's going to be watching the kids and dealing with school and everything else? I think we're just making massive mistakes left and right.
Well, you know, they've killed the job, so maybe both parents aren't working anymore. I mean, to be cynical, we try to make a life
and what?
Of it.
And so the answer is to just hand out money? I mean, we've cranked up the printing press. I mean, what's $1 trillion here and $2 trillion
wow.
there? I mean,
wow, you sound like a racist, Dr. Lewis. now you're sounding racist.
I think people need to get back to work. They need a purpose in life other than being out protesting and doing other things. And they need the social interaction. You know, the fact that we had, you know, we're arresting people for kayaking or paddle boarding on the Pacific Ocean by themselves because they were violating some stay-at-home order. You know, I mean, that was back like in March or April. You know, I think these things were absurd.
That's asinine. You know, absurd. That's a good way to say it. What in the world is that? That has nothing to do with keeping people safe, which is supposedly their objective.
Right. So if we're not keeping people safe, then what are we doing?
What are we doing?
And well, that's what I'm trying to figure out. And I think it's been mishandled at every level, from the local city, town, county, to state level, to the federal level. I think I just have a hard time believing that we were so unprepared for this after so many years and decades of concern that the big one's coming, the big one's coming, the big one's coming, and then the big one comes, and we're completely caught unaware and unprepared. And honestly, if I want to point finger at one particular entity, I would say the CDC has really let the country down.
Well, all right, since we go there, let me go in that direction. And I love the quote, I trust science, I just don't necessarily trust scientists. I love that quote. I think that's great. At the beginning of this, we were told, don't wear a mask, get outside. Now we're told we have to wear a mask or we're going to kill the world. We're told that there's so many deaths. Now we find out that there's no question these numbers are skewed. Go get a test. And now we're finding so many false positives. I mean, this is not even, I don't even think it's debatable at this point that so many of these tests, to say that this information is, a questionable would be an understatement, I think, at this point. This is supposedly the biggest story in the world, and I don't think we have any documented data handle on what actually is happening.
I would agree, and that is scary to me. We don't know. Are there a million deaths out there, or are there like 300? I mean, let me back things up for half a second. This is a serious virus. If you get sick with COVID-19, it has the potential to kill you or really wreak havoc on your body. It is very serious. I mean, I've got good friends that have been sick, and they were sick like nobody's business. I mean, worse than they've ever felt in their entire life. It is a very serious virus. However, I think how we've gone about it at a population level, the biggest thing that we've managed to do is instill fear in everybody. I mean, I kind of laugh and go back to, you know, 15, 20 years ago, George Carlin and his talk on germs. And if you want a good laugh, you should go back and see it because it's actually so apropos for today. And that it takes germs to exercise your immune system. And if you don't exercise your immune system, we're going to be caught unprepared at the individual level. The other thing that I would really start to hammer home is, you know, we've instilled such fear because of this 24-hour news cycle and all these crazy, you know, stay-at-home orders, and everybody must wear a mask, you know, at all times. I see people driving down the road in a car by themselves wearing a mask and gloves. who are they trying to be protected from? That's absurd. It actually, you know, things make such little sense. And now we're talking about, you know, violating the American Disabilities Act as an example, where special needs kids who need that one-on-one type of interaction with their teachers, and we're going to try to teach them over Zoom. That should be a violation of the law and should not be tolerated. And we are just, as Americans, just seem to be tolerating more and more infringement on our common sense liberties. You know, and I'm a registered independent. I could give a hoot about, you know, one party versus the other, because I think they're both wrong.
Let me ask you about number of deaths and cases. They keep saying, well, the number of cases are exploding. Well, logic tells you if you test a lot more people, then you're going to have a lot more numbers. So I'm not really, in my mind, tell me if I'm wrong or not. I'm not really concerned with number of cases. That doesn't alarm me so much. It's number of deaths. People actually really are dying from this. If the number of cases go up, I mean, you know, everybody pretty much listening to this has had a cold in their life or maybe had the flu in their life. So what's the big deal? So number of cases to me doesn't alarm me. Number of deaths, now I'm getting concerned. If that's an accurate number, is that a logical way to look at it, or am I misconceived?
No, I think so. I think there's a couple of numbers that we should be very closely monitoring. One is hospitalizations. The next one would be, you know, just in severity, hospitalizations for the actual virus. And that's going to bring up a whole different debate, as well as the other one. Hospitalizations, ICU admissions, and deaths. Those are the three levels we really need to get better clarity on and be watching, because mm-hmm. those are the ones that really matter. Are we overwhelming our hospital systems? You know, the fact that you've got drive-through testing sites, yeah, we're going to test more, we're going to get more positives, but if they're symptomatic, does that really matter? Because like you said, we get exposed to colds and flu viruses all the time and should be exposed to those, because we need to develop the immune response to be able to handle those. So if we're not, so that's what I said earlier, is we're moving the goalposts. You know, it was about not allowing our medical system to be overwhelmed. We did that pretty well, except in places like New York. Up front, we did that well. And, you know, what went wrong in New York, as far as I can tell, was the inability of the state to protect the elder population and the nursing home population. Something like, I don't remember exactly the number, but 40 or so percent of the deaths were nursing home patients. That's a failure on leadership to be able to protect the nursing home population. Go ahead. Sorry.
I want to hear everything you have to say. So don't feel like you need to wait for me. I'd rather hear you than me talk. We've had other people, you know, very forward thinking doctors on this show. They're in contact with hospitals in Houston, hospitals in Phoenix, hospitals in Florida. They're telling me flat out, these hospitals are not overrun, Daniel. They are not, these hospitals are not full. They are not at capacity. They're not anywhere close to capacity. This fury or whatever, this outrage that is being talked about is not true. This narrative is not true at these hospitals. What is your perspective?
Well, you know, I don't have any insider particular knowledge, and so I'm gleaning what I can off of personal contacts and other sources. In some cases, I hear that. In other cases, I hear, you know, as a nurse in Florida, we're being swamped, or, you know, in Arizona or wherever. And so, honestly, I don't know what to believe anymore, because, you know, some people...
Maybe,
you know,
both are true.
Maybe both are true. Just like it was true in New York, right? Certain hospitals were swamped in New York back in, you know, April and May.
And some weren't.
And some weren't. And so it becomes a very localized thing. And we, Listen, our medical system is broke. We spend multiple times more per person on our medical system. And we spend more on our medical system than most countries' GDP combined. We're just out of control in cost, and what we're getting for it is a unhealthy population because we're not putting – we have the best medical schools, the best science, the best research, and one of the worst health population health statistics in the Western world. There's a mismatch going on here because we don't put any emphasis on personal responsibility, prevention, and staying healthy. It's not a healthcare system that we have. We need a healthcare system, but what we have is a sick care system. And
sick management.
We go about sick management. And we think that we can eat like crap and not exercise and smoke and drink and do all these things, and you know what? We'll come up with a magic pill to make it all better. And that's just not where we need to be. If you've ever spent any time overseas, people walk more, they're outside, they exercise, they're not, the levels, one of the biggest risk factors for having bad COVID disease is obesity. And obesity in this country is out of control.
The food in Europe is better. I mean, I guess that's not true everywhere, but the places I've been two or three places, especially Greece. The food in Greece, now the country's going to hell, but the food is fantastic. I mean, I couldn't believe how fresh the food was and the quality of the food. I'm like, this food is good. It is better than the United States, no question to me.
Well, it's fresher and it's closer to home. We made a decision decades ago that we were going to be the breadbasket of the world, and we were going to make food and ship it everywhere. And how do we do corporate farming, make it, you know, the most efficient and calorically dense to be able to send things and, you know, process it and ship it around the world? Well, I mean, it was great at the time, but unintended consequences are that it has increased the amount of obesity. When I was in graduate school, I did a thesis on comparing the amount of low and no-fat foods consumed in the United States as compared to the amount of obesity. And the more low and no-fat foods we ate, the fatter we got because of the sugar. It's not the fat. It's the sugars.
Well, we could do a whole show on just that right there. We got like 2 or 3 minutes before the first break. why don't you talk about it? Cause that is totally, I love counterintuitive paradigm breaking, thought. So go expand on that for 2 or 3 minutes if you would.
Well, you know, we were taught for decades, of course, that, the food pyramid. Well, the food pyramid was completely upside down, and the food pyramid said, eat your carbohydrates and your sugars and your grains and stay away from fat. Well, fat doesn't just, like, you don't eat fat and it just gets deposited on your waist. That's what sugar does. And sugar is the reason why the amount of sugar and carbohydrates consumed in this country, it's the reason why we have the level of obesity and the amount of diabetes that we have in this country. Diabetes is a sugar problem. It's not a fat problem. And so we've gone about this for decades. Generations now, with the whole food pyramid and everything else, we've gone about this wrong. And as you mentioned, in Greece, why is the food better there? Because it's fresh. It's real. It comes from Mother Earth. It's not processed, to the extent that we do here.
Okay. Well, let's redo that food pyramid a little bit. Give us an idea. We got about 2 minutes before the break. Give us an idea of what we should be eating.
Well, you know, actually, back to Greece again. The Mediterranean diet is the only diet that's ever been shown to be good for your brain, for cognition, to help keep your brain healthy as we get older. And so what does that mean? It's really, nature's fruits and vegetables with lean meats and preferably more seafood, which Americans generally don't like to eat. Stay away from processed foods. Stay away from processed sugars. You know, so anything white bread, white milk, white sugar, white pasta, those things are high in sugar and simple sugars. If you're, you know, you need to have complex sugars like grains and fruits and vegetables that nature provides. It's when man gets in the way and thinks they can do it better that we screw things up.
People may not believe this. I couldn't believe it unless I was there. The best pizza place I have ever been to in my life was in Greece. It doesn't even make sense. The best pizza place I have ever been to in my life was in Greece. They're in a town, small town, and the freshness of it, the non-GMO pasta and the way they made it, and it was just like, this is the best pizza I've ever had. Good food actually tastes good. It's not like, oh, you got to be on a diet or what have you. No, good food. If you have good food, it actually tastes good, doesn't it, doctor?
Absolutely. And, you know, the fresher the food, the less processed the food, the closer to nature that our food sources are, the better off we are. Hmm. And that goes for our entire immune system.
We had about 30 seconds before the break. On the other side, and really the focus of why you want to come on is talking about how to deal with these things, about the stress, about what is going on, the fear. You know, what does it mean when we're in fear? I think all these things are so important. We'll get to them on the other side. Do you look at this with what's going on? Do you just shake your head? Are you scared? What goes through your mind?
Well, scared is definitely not the thing that I would say. I am not scared of this. I'm shaking my head, just amazed at where we have allowed this country to go.
Wow. Well, there's the music. Dr. Michael Lewis. On the other side, we'll get into some of the specifics. Really good to have him. Dr. MichaelLewisMD.com is his website. Stay tuned. You're listening to the
Power
Hour.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Break the bond to Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with Olive Oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that Olive Oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
Hi, this is Catherine at the Power Hour. The Power Mall began when Joyce Riley discovered an all-natural soap that heals skin issues and can replace your bathing, laundry, and household cleaning products. That soap is Miracle 2 and is made from natural minerals and coconut extract with no added fragrances or colors and is naturally concentrated and biodegradable. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. To order, call 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com today. You'll learn why so many people say, it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
With dozens of food and storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Humana Food Storage is nutritious, is GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high-fructose corn syrup, has no chemicals, preservatives, or soy. And Humana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. Call Jay at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at thepowermall.com.
America made just for you. Food stores I love to eat. Yum!
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams Probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
The Power Mall is a great website, thepowermall.com. Great products, great people there. Power Hour J and all the other people, Answer Phone Catherine. Power Hour J needs your prayer. She's had a little health issue, so you know, please pray for her. You know, she needs your help. Also, Power Mall sales, last day for OptiVita. Of course, if you're listening on shortwave, we know it's usually delayed, so that'll be the last day will probably be Monday, but it's the last day. Silver gel, silver lozenges. I love those, both those products. The silver liquid, the super krill oil, started to take that. I started to get that down my wife, especially being pregnant, you know, taking the EPA, DHA and EPA out of her body. The OptiVita vitamin D, extremely important to have non-GMO source of actual good vitamin D. The oregano, the super strength, the gel caps, the Purely C black seed oil, bone active. You know, if you're on the cusp of, you know, having problems with your bones, with calcium and that kind of thing, not absorbing. Orega Resp, Orega Spray. Orega Resp is one of the great products that we sell. Orega Max Bone Active Topical Rub. So you don't have to, you can take capsules or the rub. You put it right on your shins. It's great. Orega Dent, Collagen Power, Chaga Max. Also a flash sale. 15% off activated charcoal capsules while supplies last. Also the Ancient Minerals Magnesium products from Robert Redfern. We usually don't carry those. Those are kind of new. We tried them. I love them. Like your back is sore or, you know, I guess your legs or whatever. From what I've seen, you put it on sore muscles, it really, really works. The body butter, that sounds, I don't know if that sounds, seductive or dietary. I don't know, but body butter, I like that name. The flakes, the lotion, I use the lotion. That's what I've had. I haven't tried the body butter. That sounds interesting. And so all these products and more at the Power Mall, 877-817-9829. Thank you so much for your support, for your purchases, your donations, and you're welcome for what we do here. Independent thought of the highest order is what we have in guests like our guest we have on now, Dr. Michael Lewis, Colonel Michael Lewis, a former military infectious disease specialist. He's a graduate from the U.S. Military Academy. West Point is website, drmichaellewismd.com. drmichaellewismd.com. I kind of botched it there before the break. Very excited to talk to him more this half hour. Dr. Lewis, stress. I mean, that's doesn't matter if it's middle of COVID or it's, you know, Christmas time or whatever it is. That seems to be a universal condition of mankind. How do we deal with stress? So what does stress do to our body? And then why is this important to manage and how can we manage it?
Well, of course, we need stress. You know, a certain amount of stress is important and creates, you know, otherwise we're just lethargic. And so you have to have some stress in your life. The problem is when we get too much of it. And so why do we have...
What is too much? Hold on before. You know, sometimes we just brush over that. I apologize for interrupting you, but what is too much? I mean, we think our lives become... it becomes normal to be overstressed. What is a normal or what is a healthy amount of stress? What does that look like?
Well, a healthy amount of stress means that you are able to rise to the occasion to handle your day-to-day functions. You should be eating well. Your digestion should be good. You should be sleeping, you know, restful sleeping, waking up, feeling rested, ready to go for the next day. All these, your brain should be functioning clearly, your cognition, you know, you shouldn't have a brain fog or sleepiness. All those things are either inputs or results of stress and how it interrelates with our immune system.
So if we wake up and we're tired, we don't sleep good, we feel overwhelmed, we don't feel that zest for life, we go to work and we just feel, oh gosh, I need a vacation. So if we feel like that all the time, that's a prime example. We're stressed. We're too stressed.
And that's why there's vacations. And, you know, in some countries, they have a lot more. Americans don't take a lot of vacation compared to a lot of countries. Work days, work weeks, as far as the number of hours, we just, you know, we work. Whereas other countries have a much shorter work day, work week, because they realize it's a work home life balance, and that too much work is stressful and is not good for our overall health or even longevity.
Where did we get that in America, that kind of idea? I mean, obviously we have the Puritan work ethic that was like part of our kind of our upbringing, but where did that come from?
I think it's just kind of evolved over time. You know, we look at other countries and say, you know, afternoon siesta, they don't seem to work hard,
yeah.
They're lazy. And I just think that it's just evolved over time. And, you know, does that make us better than other countries or not as good as other countries? A lot of it's just cultural. It's your view on how you view things.
Well, a country like, I think it's France. I've never been to France, but some of these countries in Europe, they do a four day work week instead of 5 day. And it seems to work out a lot better. It's every weekend's a 3 day weekend. Do you have a feeling or sense of that? I think that would help.
Well, I think studies have actually shown that. And so I know there's different aspects and certainly depends on the agency or whatever in the federal government. But I think, you know, a number of industries do this as well, is the idea of instead of working 8 hours a day, you work 9 hours a day and, you know, take every other Friday off as an example. So you're working 80 hours every 2 weeks, but you're doing it 4 days 1 week, 5 days the other week. Other places, in some cases, you could even do 10 hours a day and still put in a 40-hour work week and have a three-day weekend every weekend. And they show productivity is actually better when you have that type of a system, when you're taking 3 or 4 days off.
Working at home, this has become a huge thing with the coronavirus. I mean, some companies, they're going to let their leases go. They don't need offices. I mean, this is going to be a boom in some ways for these corporations for their overhead. Is working at home, you know, I work at home a lot. To say it's less stressful, sometimes it's more stressful. What's your feeling about working at home?
Part of it depends on your work situation. I can tell you, one of my brothers was in a situation where he's having to work from home, and it's like the work never ends. Whereas when he was at the office, it was, you know, 8 hours a day. You walked out the door, work was done. And now it doesn't end. He's got people emailing him, into the evening. And it becomes a 15, 16-hour work day, not consistent, but and it's really been to the point where
he can't get away from it.
He couldn't get away from it, and he ended up, you know, the doctor's office, basically, and, you know, the cardiologist, because the stress was starting to affect his heart, and, you know, they'd be like, you know, your heart's fine, it's the stress. And basically, you know, you need to take a couple weeks off. And 1 or 2 weeks into it, he was like, wow, you know, all of a sudden, you know, my heart's not bothering me. You know, I can just feel the stress not being there. And I just, you know, turn off my phone, turn off my email, and learning how to live life again. So I think working from home is not necessarily the answer for everybody. I know that in some cases it seems to be pretty good, but other, it just really depends on the situation and on the job and really on the person.
Here's, I know for me personally, something that I have to do, I need a separate area. So if I'm going to work at home, you know, have your office in the garage or what have you, that kind of thing works for me. It has to be separate, because I'll tell you what started to happen and what drove me crazy. So I'm sitting there working. Say if I was at the office, if I'm at an office, I'm working, and then I just lean back in my chair and I'm just sitting there reflecting or whatever, just relaxing for a second or pondering or, you know, flipping through my phone, checking messages, whatever. Okay. If I did that at my office, fine. No big deal. If I do it at home and I'm around my wife sometimes, she'll say, what are you doing? What do you want to do? I'm sitting here just thinking, just relaxing for a second. Well, I need you to do the da-da-da-da or da-da-da. No, you don't need me to do da-da-da-da-da-da. You know, it's like, I don't know if the family understands it. No, I'm just sitting here. Can I sit here for a second? You know, for me, that's what became for me. So it's not that I couldn't separate from work. It's that, yes, work never ends, but it was like all one thing. Family, home, the kids, the children, everything all merged into one, and just got just like, oh, it had to be segmented for me personally and for my family. And my family had to understand that for it to work good for me.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think the work landscape as we know it has obviously changed, and I think it's probably changed forever. The idea of, I'd hate to be in commercial real estate right now, because if we're finding out that, okay, well, half of these jobs, I'm just making up, you know, a number for a point, but half these jobs can be done from home. So why do we need this overhead? Why are we paying rent, you know, for office space when we don't really need it? And so I'd hate to be in commercial real estate, but, you know, there's other jobs, construction and other things, kind of hard to phone that in. So it just depends on the job and the situation.
Well, they can take all these commercial buildings and they go ahead.
Yeah, well, let me just throw in one job that I don't agree that needs to be phoned, that's being phoned in, and I completely disagree, is teaching. Our kids should not be learning off of Zoom at home, and I think that it's a shame, and especially, even more importantly, our special needs children who really need that interpersonal relationship. I completely disagree with this trend where everything from Harvard to elementary schools are going on with an online thing. We're just so scared of this virus that we've lost all sense of sanity and what's really important. And, you know, our kids are going to, if this goes on for a couple of years, this generation of kids that are growing up are not going to know how to socialize.
All right, one of the things that you sent over before the interview is 6 strategies to manage stress. And one of them is healthy diet. You've talked about that a lot, but avoiding information overload. You got 6 things here. Let's start with, You start anywhere you want. The six strategies to manage
avoid
stress.
Avoid information overload. That's where I would start, because that's, I think, the biggest source of stress in our society today. It's a source not just with the whole COVID, but it's just something that's picked up over the last couple of years, particularly with social media. We now, think about it, there's basically, when we were kids, you got the morning newspaper and you maybe watched the evening news. Do you think the amount of news that's happening in the world has really changed since then? No, it hasn't. It really hasn't.
Good point.
What we have is an hour of news and 23 hours of opinion about the news on 6,000 cable network channels. And now, on top of that, we throw social media. So if it's not enough that we're getting, 23 hours of opinion from people that may or may not be worthy of listening to, now you've got, 2,000 friends on Facebook and other social media that are giving you their opinions, and, the cancel culture and the shaming and everything else. It's just too much. You would be shocked what happens if you turn off, if you go even just one entire day with no interaction with news or social media, you'll be shocked at how much that is a relief on your entire anxiety and just mental health. And turning off the limiting, we talk about limiting screen time for kids because we're concerned about kids being on an iPad for, hours and hours and hours, or gaming for hours, and what's that doing to their brains. We need to start limiting screen time for adults.
You know, if Walter Cronkite didn't say it, we didn't need to know it back then. Really think about it. Well, Walter Cronkite didn't say it, so it must not be important. that's interesting. You mentioned there's still 1 hour of news, but now there's all these opinions. It seems like the rest of the 23 hours are designed to get you into some kind of emotional state, to manipulate you one way or another. I mean, that's what, if I let myself go, see, I can get fired up about certain subjects. And so I have to go through this process because I deal with this, every day on the radio, I have to, for the weekends, I have to turn it off. I'll get tons of emails. Here, listen to this. You got to see this. You have to. One, I can't physically see them all. Two, I don't even want to. You know what I mean? I have to, for me to be any good on this show at all, I have to turn these things off at some point. I would totally agree with what you're saying.
Right. And now you take the average person out there. I was going to say housewife, but that might get me in trouble. The average person out there. Well, the average person out there. Do you need to have the news on all the time? I mean, when I'm home, I turn on music. I never turn on the TV. In fact, I cut my cable. I listen to music. I don't listen to the news, and because get enough of it from everywhere else. And so that's, a simple thing that you can do is just turn off the news and step away from it for a while.
Let's go over some of the exercise.
Here's the thing. Let's make some good out of this crazy situation that we find ourselves in, right? So you can't go to work. You're stuck at home. You're being ordered to be at home, or whatever your situation is, by our politicians who, maybe we shouldn't even go there. But how do we make some good out of this? Well, you know what? This is a time where you could potentially be making the changes that you need to make in your life. You're 40 pounds overweight and you drink too much and you're eating crap food. Maybe this is a time to turn this around and start eating healthy and getting into a regular exercise program. And specifically, especially a couple of months ago, when we were being told, don't leave your house, and the gyms are closed and all this and all that. That was one thing I've been saying since the very beginning, is the best place to exercise is outside. And you get fresh air, you get sunshine, you get, you know, vitamin D from the sunshine. So get outside and exercise. Do something outside for at least a half hour every single day, whether it's to take a walk around the neighborhood or go for a jog or whatever you like to do for exercise. But do something at least a half hour outside, preferably something that's going to get your heart rate up and huffing and puffing and maybe even break a sweat. Just do these basic things. It's lifestyle medicine. It's what we are, not even medicine, just lifestyle, is eating healthy and regular exercise are two things that we could be doing every single day. And not only that, we should have been doing these every single day anyway. And if you want to combine it, you know, I got a couple other ideas in there. You know, the idea of being with loved ones and have a sense of gratitude. You know, those are things you can do all at the same time. Take a walk with loved ones and talk about how, you know, in some of the worst circumstances known to mankind, the people that survived and even thrived, that, you know, think about Air Force and Navy flyers, pilots that were shot down over Vietnam and held in the Hanoi Hilton, or World War II in concentration camps. The people that survived and even thrived were the ones that still held on to a sense of gratitude, even in the worst of circumstances. We are nowhere near that. So be grateful for what we do have.
Now, one of the silver linings, I guess, possibly could be, if people are home, they're stuck home, they can't go anywhere, they've lost their job, they're working at home, whatever, they're around their family more. They get to spend time more with their family. They get to see what their children are learning at school on Zoom. They're like, wait a minute, why are you adding with these sticks, and what is this Common Core? What are you learning? Wow, it's like the first time they're even paying attention to their children.
Right, and realize that not every home situation is, you know, nice and rosy, and realize that in some cases having too much home time can be a bad situation. And, you know, and my heart goes out to people that, whether it's kids or spouses, that are subject to abuse at home because of the stress, again, that we're feeling because of this whole situation. So unfortunately, not everybody has a wonderful home situation to be in. But I think a lot of the problems that we see are because of the stress that we're allowed. You know, in many ways, and it's not the stress that's the problem. It's how we react to the stress. And that's the key. And you can choose how you react to the stress and how you deal with stress. And what I'm saying is, if you're feeling stress in your life, which pretty much everybody is, and it's gotten worse, we need to start making better choices on how to effectively deal with stress, starting with that nutritional foundation, starting with, you know, most cases you feel better when you exercise or right after you exercise. Do that on a regular basis and do the things that give you happiness and decrease or even eliminate the perceived stressors that you have in life.
I've always been fascinated by the study from World War II, or right after World War II. It talked about the people who lived in London who were almost nightly getting bombed by Germans had less stress about that than the people who lived 50 miles away and were worried it might come to them. It was like they were worrying about something that didn't even materialize, and other things. It's like the worrying about what might be is worse than the actual experiencing of things. Is there some? It seems like that's an important point too.
Yeah. No. Absolutely. I think that you know, when you are exposed to stress, you learn to handle it a little bit better over time. And so being in London, you were exposed to this stress, and you adapted to it. And, you know, so when I say, you know, not enough stress is, you know, kind of puts you in the lethargic area, and too much, of course, causes problems. That's a variable thing, you know, so you do build tolerance to stress as you are exposed to it more. Just, and that's a great segue, because that's the exact same thing with our immune system. If your immune system never gets stressed, you're going to be in big trouble when it does have something that comes into its world. And so we've got to continually stress our immune system. And the only way you could stress our immune system is through exposure to everyday life and germs. You know, we're sanitizing the world right now, and we think that we can live in a germ-free world, and that is absolutely the wrong answer. You're eliminating the thing that's going to stress your immune system in a healthy way, but you also need to support your immune system to be able to handle that stress, and that principally is through diet and exercise.
One of the things that people were, there's the music, we got less than a minute. One of the things that people really are concerned about is some sort of forced vaccine. You know, now they're trying to force masks, or they're going to try to force vaccines. I call them toxins later. You know, people worry about that. How should we handle, what is your opinion about forcing vaccines, and how should we handle that specter hanging over us? Got about 20 seconds.
Well, I don't believe that we're going to see a true vaccine anyway that's effective. But I think that we need to stand up as individuals. If you feel that you have the right to not be immunized against some experimental vaccine, I think that you should stand up and say, no, not me.
Well, see, that for me, the decision's already been made. That's it. So there is no stress about it. It's already been made.
Right.
So that's how I think of it. DrMichaelLewisMD.com is your website. Really nice talking to you. Really enjoyed it. Thank you so much for coming on.
Oh, my pleasure. Hopefully again sometime soon.
Absolutely. God bless everybody. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next week.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams Probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829.